Stories Online.
When you sign up to be an EPP, extra podcast person to Real Ghost Stories Online, you'll have access to the best ghost stories we've ever told.
The oven doors started slamming open and closed. And in places like this, oven doors take up entire walls.
Never before had I seen such clear evidence of something non-human being in a room with me.
Because it felt like somebody was here. You know, you see I Did It written in paint, where you just paint it.
These are stories only EPP members have access to.
I don't know why, but I just wonder if that scream isn't a family member that was there to claim their loved one.
There was like something standing there right in the threshold of the doorway, and I was paralyzed. I couldn't breathe.
It's only $5 a month when you sign up at realghoststoriesonline.com by clicking Become an EPP.
There was an old lady standing at the foot of the bed, and she said she could see details and everything. You know, it just looked like an old lady standing at the foot of the bed.
You'll get access to the best ghost stories and exclusive video content we've ever created.
I have no doubt in my mind that it was completely supernatural.
But it felt like it was in my head. Like, it didn't feel like I was hearing it. It felt like it was in my head.
Become an EPP now and help keep our show on the air. At realghoststoriesonline.com, click Become an EPP.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. 855-853-4802 is the phone number to call into the show and share your real ghost stories with us. We would, of course, love to hear them. Of course, you can also write it at realghoststoriesonline.com or email your audio file over to Jenny, J-E-N-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. So lots of ways to share the spooky.
Hello.
How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
I am I'm doing well. Looks good. Like we have a lot of interesting calls here to go through.
We do.
Calls of the undead.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Any particular one we should be starting with on the show, or just kind of start listening to them and go from there?
The longest one. It's Kayla.
Shannon.
No.
Kayla is 7.
Yeah.
Shannon is 10.
I think Kayla, is it Kayla in Maryland?
Yes.
Yeah, do that one.
Okay. MD stands for Maryland.
Yes, it does.
I always wondered that. Like when I'm like putting down initials of states and stuff, that's when I can never remember, like MD.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, what? There you go.
You'd think it'd be like ML.
Or MY.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just how my brain works. So there you go. Let's go to Kayla in Maryland for our first story today at Real Ghost Stories Online. Hi.
Hi guys, this is Kayla from Maryland. I'm not entirely sure what happened, but I lost you guys the first time, so I'm gonna start all over again. For starters, you guys have an amazing show. It's literally the only thing that gets me through my workday, so I do appreciate that. But I've had a lot of paranormal things happen to me ever since I was a kid, but that is for another time, because with every good story, you kind of have a little bit of a backstory. There is a church that I used to go to with my family. I cannot exactly remember what year it was built, but I believe it was either in the 1700s or 1800s, so it was a very old church. And I was 11 at the time, and we would have lock-ins with the youth group. And which basically means that we would all get together as a youth group, and they would lock the doors. So if someone tried to get out, we could get out, but we couldn't get back in. It's been a tradition for a long time that even my mother used to do that when she was a kid. So we were all having a lock-in and playing a game called Underground Church. Now, Underground Church, the game itself, now that I think about it, it's kind of a very odd game to play in a church. And basically what it is you have a room in the center, and it's lit up with just, you know, the lights on and everything. and one of the adults or all of the adults that are supervising the lock-in is in the room. And that room is the jail cell. And there's a dark side and a light side. The dark side has flashlights, and they go around trying to catch the light side. The light side is looking for what we would call the light of Jesus. And when we find it, we have to bring everyone else from the light side over to where the light of Jesus is. And if you get caught by the dark side, you have to go into this room and either sing your way out with praises, anything you can think of. Basically, it was if the youth leaders got really annoyed with you, is usually how they would let us out of jail, because we were some pretty annoying kids. But I was on the light side, and I was walking around with my friend Bobby. Sorry, there was a big truck that went by. But I was walking with my friend Bobby, and we went into the fellowship hall. And when we walked in, we were just kind of, you know, looking around. And then out of the corner of my eye, I saw something coming through the room. I look over, and there's a little girl standing there. She's giggling. She's smiling. She has brown curly hair, a straw hat on with a little pink bow on the hat, a pink frilly church dress with white ruffles on it, and, you know, little church shoes. I didn't entirely know what to do. I was just kind of starstruck, and Bobby was still kind of looking around, and I wasn't scared. I didn't know if what I was seeing was real. And for quite a few years, I convinced myself that it wasn't real, but the more that I think back on it, the more I kind of want to go back to the church and actually see if I can find it again. But Bobby came over, and I asked him if he sees what I see. And he was like, "What do you mean?" And I said, "Do you see the little girl?" And at this point, I think he thought that I was trying to scare him, so he played along with it. But in the end, I was the only one that saw the little girl, and she started to run. So the sanctuary was off limits, and it was right beside the fellowship hall. But when she started to run, I went after her, and she went right through the sanctuary doors. But because the sanctuary was off limits, due to it being a place of worship, you know, you just kind of, you know, just for, you know, respect purposes, I guess. But she went right through the doors, and disregarding all of the rules that were in place, I went into the sanctuary, and she was gone. And I'm not entirely sure what the history is of that church, but I was never really scared of that little girl. And part of me really wants to see if I can actually get the original youth group back together one more time to play that game, just to see if she'll come out again. Because in all honesty, I do believe that she was real. And that something did happen to her, whether or not she, you know, when she passed away, that she actually, you know, chose the church as a place that made her feel safe. Because I do believe that, you know, some spirits or ghosts like to try to find places that have them, that they can attach onto, that they're not afraid of, to try to escape the place where the bad things happen to them. But that is my story. I just wanted to share it with you guys. I just seem to think that it's really cool, but again, still nobody believes me about it. And like I said, one of these days I will figure out a way to get back in there to actually see if what happened will happen again, because I was not afraid of her. I was more curious than anything else. And I guess I will call you guys back with more stories. If you're interested, just let me know. Thanks for all you guys do. Have a great day.
You know, she mentioned getting the youth group back together to try and recreate the same situation.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, it was just her and her friend, the guy friend, that were the ones that were there when this little ghost girl showed up.
Sure.
So, and honestly, Kayla's the only one that saw it. So I don't think she needs the whole youth group to possibly go back and have another interaction with this little ghost girl.
Yeah, I don't think it was necessarily the group that was bringing it out.
No.
I think it might have been more so her and the ghost girl realizing that she could see it and vice versa. And that may be all it takes. I think sometimes they are attracted drawn to, others who that they know can see them.
That or they feel comfortable around. And, you know, a little girl would feel comfortable around another younger girl.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I could see that being the case. Thank you for sharing that that experience with us. We really appreciate that. 855-853-4802 is our number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to Shannon. Hi.
Hi, guys. This is Shannon in Greenville, South Carolina. I've been listening to the show now for probably about a year. I was turned on to it by a friend at work. We like to swap ghost stories, and I've been hooked ever since. So it's a great show, and I like how you give feedback on the stories after you play them or read them. I have a few stories that I could share, but I'll just share a couple of short ones since this is my first time sending something in. I've had experiences throughout my life, but I'll just share some more recent ones. I live in a town called Traveler's Rest, and it's in Greenville County. And I live behind, in a neighborhood behind a big perpetual care cemetery, which is not, I don't know if that's really causing anything to happen, because we don't have a lot of activity, but it's just kind of a funny aside. But we moved into the house that we live in now about 5.5 years ago. Me and my husband live there, and we don't have any kids, we just have pets. And so we haven't really had much activity, but I had spell of panic attacks a few years ago, maybe about 3 years ago. I had a span of like 6 months where I didn't get much sleep at all during that period, and I was just waking up in the middle of the night with my heart racing and just having recurring panic attacks. And every now and then I would see or sense something when I was up with the panic attacks by myself and in the complete pitch black of the house, where I would just sort of try to brush them aside in my head because I was trying to deal with my mind at the moment and get it wrangled. But after that subsided, nothing really happened. Nothing really of note happened during that time, but we had about a year and a half ago, I'd say the strangest thing that occurred was I woke up out of just like a pretty deep sleep. I just woke up for no reason at all, just all of a sudden, like in, I guess, the middle of the night, probably like 1 a.m. or so, and just blinking in the darkness, being like, why am I awake? I don't know, and I was about to go back to sleep, and all of a sudden I just... it was the weirdest thing. I had a feeling that there was something about to happen or there's something, nothing bad or nothing scary. I was just like, I had a feeling I was awake for a reason, which is strange. And in like 2 seconds of me thinking that, I heard two very loud, long, what I can only really describe as moans or screams. It was like a moaning scream. And the first thought that came into my mind was that maybe the neighbors were having some kind of argument. But this was the middle of the night, and our house isn't really, our bedroom is on the other side of the house from, the side of the house that the neighbors are on. On the other side of our house, next to the bedroom, there's no houses there. There's just woods. And this moaning scream sounded like it was coming from our living room, which our bedroom opens up into. So there's just a doorway, and then the living room, which is it's an open concept, so it's got like vaulted ceilings. And this scream sounded like it was coming from inside the house. And it happened twice. It was two screams, and then it stopped. And I was just like, okay, that was weird. I looked over to see if my husband was awake and that he heard it, and nope, he was like snoring. And so I wasn't afraid or anything, and I just went back to sleep. I've never heard it again, and I told that story to a couple of people, not many. And the take on it is that since we are so close to the woods, and we are close to the mountains, some people, a couple of people, my dad in particular and my father-in-law, have said, oh, it's probably just a bobcat, or it could be foxes. It was so, so loud, and I've looked everywhere for a bobcat, on like YouTube and stuff. I've looked everywhere to hear that same scream, and I have not heard it anywhere on the internet yet. It just sounded like it was coming from inside the house. For it to be an animal or anything, it would have had to be screaming at a window. Even then, I think it would sound muffled. So that was weird. And I said this was going to be short, but it's getting to be a little bit long. Anyways, I just have one more thing. The only other strange thing that has happened in our house now, is we, I don't know how long ago it was, but probably about a couple of years ago, we were sitting in our living room, and in the middle of the day, on a Sunday, and all of a sudden the front doorbell rings. Now, nobody ever uses our doorbell, and anybody we know would not use the doorbell. And not to mention, we didn't even know if it worked at that time, because nobody ever uses it. And so I was like, that's weird. So I get up to check who it is, and nobody's there. And we live in a very open area. There's a street, and there's woods, but if somebody, if it was a prank, they wouldn't have had time to run into the woods by the time I had checked to see if there's anybody at the door. So that was odd. And then not too long after that, a few months, we were sitting in the living room again on a Sunday in the middle of the day watching TV, and all of a sudden something starts banging on the wall or the door, the wall close to the door. Like somebody's, really knocking hard on the door. So I get up, I check, see if anybody's there. Nobody's there. Nobody's anywhere around our door or the front of our house where it could have been coming from. I look all around, and, we get up and we go outside, and there's nothing or nobody that could have beat that hard on our house. So that's strange. Funny thing is, now I'm kind of looking for it, because last weekend on Sunday, in the middle of the day, we were about to lay on our bed and watch TV, just chill out, and somebody, and the doorbell rings, and I'm like, that's weird. Nobody ever rings our doorbell, and I was like, oh, I bet it's that ghost. And my husband's like, you're stupid. It's not a ghost. So he goes to check the door, and it's actually a neighbor who's bringing us something who never comes to our door. So she's just ringing the doorbell to be polite. But he comes back in our bedroom, and I say, huh, that's funny. I thought that it was that was going to be our gentleman caller, our Sunday caller. I think that's a good name for it. And he's like, that's silly. And I'm like, yeah, because it comes on Sundays, so it's the Sunday caller. So now our ghost has a name, the Sunday caller. But I don't know if we'll ever hear from it again. But anyway, that's all I have for today. And this has gone on far too long as it is. I am driving home. You can probably hear car noises. And I love the show. Keep up the great work. And I hope I hear this on the air. Bye.
That is so odd that all of the unexplained instances happened on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not residual because everything's different.
That is odd.
Yeah.
It's almost like it has a certain day of the week. It saves its strength up to come out on a certain day.
Now, with the screams, yeah, it could be foxes. We've learned that foxes sound a lot like babies screaming, you know, or it could be some other kind of animal. Who knows? But it is weird that there's several unexplained things happening all on Sunday.
Yeah.
What does that even mean, you know?
I don't know.
I mean, I would think Sunday might be the least likely day.
Yeah, it's, I mean, I'm trying to think, you know, just like, well, the rotation of the earth because of this or that and the fields of the, it doesn't make any sense,
no.
You know, on a weekly basis. Mm-mm. So I don't know. You really kind of got me baffled there, but good story.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for sharing. 855-853-4802 is our number. Hi.
Oh, hey, just started listening to you guys, and I'm a fan. I listened to the Amityville stuff, and I was very interested in that and The Conjuring, and that kind of got me hooked. My whole family, like my three half-brothers and my mom, we've all had multiple things happen. I mean, just all across our lives. If you believe in the orb phenomenon, there's like some stuff of that. I have some photos. I don't know where at, or I would, like, scan them and send them to you. But there's, like, orb photos everywhere, and I don't know if you believe in that. But anyways, off topic, I do have a bunch of stories. If necessary, I'll just call back if this has an auto-hang-up thing. But one night I was sitting at home, and it was late, 3 a.m., and a lot of this stuff happens around 3 a.m., with me anyways, not other members of the family. But I was sitting there, and it was dark. I always, you know, played games in the dark, and I had TV glow. Well, the way my room was situated, the kitchen was right next to it, and there was a heavy door, and you could see under it. So because of the kitchen light that we would leave on, it would push anybody's shadow under the door, so you could tell someone was there. Well, late night, I was just about to probably head off to bed, and it was late, and it was summertime, so I didn't have any school or anything during that time period, and I just, everything feels still, like something feels off, and then I see shadows under the door frame, like foot shadows, and I could already tell they're off, because they're so skinny, they're very small, they're childlike. Well, then I heard running, like, barefoot steps, and no one in the house besides me runs around barefoot, because, you know, my mom's an older woman, and she gets cold easily, and she keeps her feet warm. Well, and then I heard a little girl giggling, and I saw the shadow running around my door, then it stopped. You know, and that's a little thing, but a lot of crap happened in that old house, sorry. And, like, bunch of stuff. I had a bunch of night terrors there too, and I've had one recently, but anyways. Another one is I've had a full vision experience. I was sitting at a computer late at night in the dark, and I had the glow of the screen as my light. And I could see pretty well. And I turn around, and I'm stretching. You know, you're sitting there for a while, you got to stretch out. And I turn around, and right dead set behind me, in the door frame of my mother's room, because I'm sitting in the computer room, is a full-body apparition. Long black hair, white dress. Everything freezes. I don't know if it was one of those moments of, like, pure terror or, like, fear, because, like, holy crap, what the hell, excuse me, what is that, you know? And I finally managed to blink, and it's gone. The doorway is blank, there's nothing there, you know, and I just gotta silently freak out for a while. Another thing, and this is probably the last thing I'll leave on, and I'll just call back with these other stories some other time, is, I was sitting in my room, in this old house, and all of this happened in this last house we were in, and I just sat down, and it was, like, the middle of the day, and it was, like, 8 p.m., well, not middle of the day, it was 8 p.m., and it was raining, as was that whole summer, pretty much. And I just get this very strange urge to pause my game. Well, after that happened, my closet door, that I always kind of keep cracked because if I don't, it makes strange noises, it burst open. I hear this most horrible, shrill, horrible scream I've ever heard in my life, and thumps, and then just thumping footsteps out through my door, which was open at the time, and through into the kitchen and out the back door, and I could feel the footsteps all the way until had gotten onto the ground out our back porch. And our out back porch leads to forested fields and stuff, you know, not civilization back in that old house. So, I don't know. Sorry if my language is a little coarse or whatever, what have you. Well, I hope you guys enjoy this, even if you don't play it. And I will definitely listen to you guys later. So, thanks.
Okay, I'm in the boat of the full-bodied apparitions with the long black hair and the white dresses that look like the woman from The Ring are more than just full-bodied apparitions.
What gives you that idea?
I just don't think there's that many dead girls that look like that.
I would go with it's something that it knows what people fear. It knows what is... I guess popular culture, if you will,
mm-hmm.
right now, as far as what people fear, and it's something not too bright, I'm not saying as not intelligent. I'm saying as in it's not too good mm-hmm. or positive of an entity, and it's using whatever imagery it can to scare.
Do you think that they being spirits and ghosts and all things we don't understand, keep up on what the latest scary monster is?
I think. If it's like a human ghost or something, not so much. If it's something dark and demonic, I think it already knows.
So do you think this chick, do you think that it was around before The Ring? Or do you think The Ring may have been based on somebody seeing something that looked like that?
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
I could go either way. I could see just being someone's creation because it's a scary concept. Or I could see it's someone having had an experience and then they've either or. But once I think it's out there in the ether and people are aware of it, that's where I think you start to have these things that just take on these forms.
Yeah.
So there you go. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to our next caller, Alexandra in Illinois. Hi.
Hi, Alexandra from Chicago again. Like I said, I'm on a really long road trip. So I'm probably going to submit a couple stories because that's like all I've been doing is listening to your podcast this entire trip, and it has made 6 hours so far fly by. So anyways, another story that I have, I've never had real direct experience with paranormal, but just a lot of indirect things like signs, dreams. So this one in particular happened to be a dream. So when I was in freshman year of high school, I believe, a friend of mine, who I wasn't very close with, but knew and had been a little bit closer with at one time, he was very well known, everyone loved him, he was funny, charismatic, great athlete, great wrestler, known throughout our area, very popular, had a lot of friends, was actually killed accidentally when him and his brother and a friend of theirs were kind of just scoping out their father's gun collection because he was a cop in our town. They thought that they were knowledgeable about the guns and they were locked away, but he was, some kind of freak accident happened and it was accidentally discharged after being hit on like a railing in there on their stairs, bringing it back to put it away. He passed away and our entire town really felt the effects of it. It was such a tragedy, completely unexpected. And again, he was very popular, so everyone knew him. Anyways, a couple months later, I was sleeping and I had this very, very vivid dream where I was in with the woods area, a place that I had liked to play when I was a little bit younger. So it's a very lighthearted, warm dream. It was a sunny day. It felt very good. I wasn't scared at all. And I was with a mutual friend of ours. We were walking through the woods, and then we saw Ryan, the kid who had passed away. And he was just so happy and vibrant. And you know, we caught up to him, and we're like, wow, we thought you were gone. And he's like, yes, I am, but, you know, I'm okay, I'm having a great time. And the rest of the dream, I don't remember the specifics to this day, but it was a very clear conversation at this time, but nothing important was really said. It was more so just, you know, I'm okay, I'm having a great time, look at this beautiful place I'm in. And we kind of just all hung out and enjoyed our time there. The scary part is that after this dream was over, I slipped into a fit of sleep paralysis. However, at this time, I was about 15 years old. I had never experienced it before. I had no idea what that is. So I was just sat there paralyzed, realizing that I was no longer dreaming after having this dream where I felt so truly connected to this kid I knew who had passed away. And so now I'm sitting in this limbo where I feel like I can't open my eyes, but I want to. I am paralyzed by fear and confusion, and I just want to so badly and move, but I could not for the life of me wake up. After what seemed, you know, like minutes had passed, but I'm sure it was only seconds, I finally came to. My heart was racing, I was in a cold sweat, and I could not sleep. I felt like I needed to call someone. It was like a compulsion. And the strange thing is that when he passed away, he had been seeing this girl on and off who I had been friends with at one time, but we hadn't talked in quite a while. But I felt this compulsion to call her, and I just knew what I had experienced would sound so bizarre to anybody, and that's why I felt this compulsion to tell someone, but I was very picky about who I would tell because I didn't want to seem crazy. It was, you know, 2:00 in the morning, it was in the middle of the night. So I texted this girl and explained everything that happened and what I had experienced. She was like, you know what, that's so crazy. I have experienced this, you know, sleep paralysis. Again, we didn't use that term. And I know it's the most terrifying thing. I'm so glad that you told me because I thought I was the only one. But anyways, it might have been a normal thing, but what was so odd about it was, you know, it seemed like Ryan was communicating with me, as I'm sure he had with a lot of his closer friends and family, and maybe I was supposed to reach out to her to just tell her that everything's okay, because I can't explain how else I would feel like I needed to talk to this person that I hadn't talked to for almost a year, because as I said, she was dating him, and I'm sure she was very, very, very torn up about this entire situation. Especially because it was right before Valentine's Day, they had plans. So that's the only way I can really explain that, and I just thought it was a little bit bizarre. Anyways, I will probably call again, and I have one more story that I can think of. So thanks for occupying this time, and I think it would be really cool to hear one of these stories on your podcast. Okay, bye.
Kind of wondering if a dream visit and sleep paralysis kind of happen in the same sleep state. Because she had sleep paralysis after she had this dream visit type situation. And I think it's truly a dream visit because somebody else also had a a similar story to hers. I mean, her friend had a similar story about this person visiting.
Or it's not just a coincidence that you're emotionally hyped up or whatever, then that's what's pushing you to have these experiences.
Right. So I don't know it's necessarily the two things related, other than that she was just in that prime state for both of those things to happen.
It's a double whammy.
Yeah.
A bonus, if you will. Not necessarily always in a great way, but a bonus. Mm-hmm. A bonus paranormal experience. I think you're onto something there.
Get your dream visitation and a bonus episode of Sleep Paralysis.
All in one sitting.
Yeah.
What more could you possibly want?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for the story. Let's go to George in California. George.
Hi, my name is George. I'm from Los Angeles. And I have a pretty spooky ghost story that I wanted to share with you guys. I started listening to your podcast a couple of days ago, and it kind of, I thought that it would be great to share my story as well, since I find that it's more common than not that people experience these things, but they don't often want to talk about it because it's not that common. I was 16 when this took place in my childhood home, and I was about to go to sleep, and shortly after I fell asleep, I realized that there was someone right next to my bed. And I was alerted because obviously it's kind of a weird feeling when you know you're the only one in there, or you should be the only one in there. And I woke up and this man was standing right next to my bed, right beside my head. I had a nightstand right next to me, so I immediately turned over to try to turn it on. And this 6-foot-something guy, but huge, was standing right beside my bed, with a really wide-brimmed hat. And all I remember seeing are his eyes. They were just red. And his hand was just hovering over my head as if to kind of, like, put me in a trance or some sort of, I don't know what it was, but immediately right after that, I couldn't talk. I was in a complete paralysis. But I just see these different colors just kind of flashing in my vision, and I immediately realize that I have to pretend to be asleep so this thing can no longer hurt me. So I just close my eyes, I turn over, and I could still feel its presence. It has a very distinct presence. You feel this sort of sense of doom. You can't quite put your finger on it, but it just immediately takes over the entire room. And you know when they're there, it's such a weird feeling. And right after that, I just jumped out of bed, hopped over, and I ran to my mom's room. And I told her about the incident, and luckily she was pretty understanding, because growing up, my parents were Mexican-American, so we folklore and superstition are kind of just a part of the culture. But shortly after that, I moved rooms right next door, and I experienced the same thing. This happened about 2 months after this incident. Luckily, I was in the room sleeping with my sister, who was not too far apart from me. Not in the same bed, but she was like sleeping in a different part of the room. And so again, I begin to fall asleep, and then shortly after that, I feel the same presence looming over my bed. But I immediately realize the same entity because of the feeling that I got. And I kind of decided to play a trick on them. So I closed my eyes to pretend that I'm asleep, like if I know that they're not there, or rather pretending they're not there. And I slowly started to turn over, and I kind of glanced over. I opened my eye, and it's the same person standing over my bed. But I immediately try to fall asleep, and I could still feel that feeling that just was lingering for like what felt an eternity, but it was only a couple of minutes. And this happened around 4 o'clock in the morning, 4 or 3 in the morning. But yeah, that's my story, guys. And thank you for listening, and hopefully you guys decide to air it. Bye-bye.
I have to ask, and this isn't something that I've had multiple experiences. I mean, I've had 2 real true experiences, but do different entities feel different to our sensitive listeners? Or is it just in general, you know there's something there, or you see something and you get the same feeling every time, doesn't matter if it's the same entity or not?
I don't know the answer to that, but that's a good question. I mean, I would think that, you know, you'd be able to feel positive, negative, those differences.
Mm-hmm.
But what exactly do you mean by how they feel different? What's your...
Like, I don't know, when I spend time with you, mm-hmm. you give off a different feel than... the kids, you know.
Sure, I get what you mean. Okay.
How you just sense differences. Like, mm-hmm. you can tell who came into a room without looking by either smell, sight. There's just a difference there. And I wonder if that carries over into death. So if when people that are sensitive have multiple experiences with multiple different entities and they know they're different entities, mm-hmm. if they have different sensations or if it's just, oh, I'm just getting that entity feeling.
that brisk entity feeling.
Yes.
You know, I know what you mean. I would think so.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's probably a matter of how sensitive you are. Probably the more sensitive you are, the better you are at picking up on those things. But that's a good question.
Okay.
I'm sure someone could answer that, like a Cisco.
Yeah, or somebody. That would be a good Cisco question.
It would be. 855-853-4802, our number. Let's go to Michael in Wisconsin. Hi.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. My name is Michael from Madison, and I'm calling... I was in college studying photography in Stevens Point, your old neck of the woods, and I grew up in the Wausau area as well. While I was on doing some photography stuff, I was interested in taking pictures of abandoned houses. You may remember Highway Y. There's a great pink farmhouse out in the middle of some fields that's been abandoned for years. And one evening afternoon, I stopped there with my camera equipment and my girlfriend, and I had her dressed up in a white dress, and I decided we'll go into this abandoned house and we'll do some slow shutter speed movement ghost photography. So if there are no real ghosts, we'll make some go. So we went in and we took a few shots and we started to lose the light, and it got a little darker, and the hairs in the back of your neck started to stand up and getting a little freaked. And it's a very interesting house inside. The chairs are still there, the tables are still there, and they're arranged in such a way that it really feels like someone had just left and abandoned this place. Seems like there's a rocking chair, you know, still rocking in the corner. And it definitely has a very freaky feel. I was about to go upstairs, and when I grabbed the handle, everything in my body told me, no, don't go up there. And so I just let go, and I kind of had that feeling, there's some spirit here, some real spirit. And, you know, you can just sort of sense it. And we decided, all right, it's time to pack it in and leave. A few weeks later, driving back down Highway Y again, and this time I'm traveling with my son, who was about 4 years old at the time. And on the way through, we said, oh, let's stop in and see this house. We'll go check it out again and take some more photographs. So we pull into the driveway, and my son says to me, Dad, who are those people waving to us in the window? When I looked, there was no one there, but I peeled out and never went back. And as a side note, Tony, I have to apologize. If your brother is Scott, I may have punched you when we were in high school, and for that, I'm terribly sorry. Thank you. Bye.
No need to worry. I have no siblings.
I think he thought you grew up in Wausau.
Oh, no.
And so,
I see.
You know, probably small town siblings and stuff.
Sure.
Yeah.
Nope, you didn't punch me in high school. So that's I've never been in a fisticuff situation.
That's good.
Ever.
That's good.
No one's ever hit me. I've never hit anyone, and that's I don't really see the point. So
okay,
that's just how I've been.
Sure.
So anyway.
Well, about his story though, you can't fake out little kids. I mean, that's pretty amazing that he saw all those people in the windows.
That's creepy.
Yeah.
That's very creepy. There's a lot of neat places up there that have history, mm-hmm. you know, and there's, you just kind of, I'm not sensitive, but you can just feel some of the areas, like there's something odd.
Did you know which house he was talking about?
I did not.
There?
No, that does not ring a bell, but there's a lot of odd roads and we're just wandering around and they got stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a cool place to explore. Thank you for sharing that story. And I'm sorry, you're going to have to find the person you hit and still apologize to them. So hopefully you can do that at some point.
And see, I thought you were going to totally play that up.
Like, yes, it was me. I lost 4 teeth and I'm still not okay. I've had to put chiclets in my mouth ever since. And, no. Sorry. That wraps up today's episode. If you like the show, become an EPP. Sign up on the website, ghostpodcast.com. That's what helps keep our show on the air, ghostpodcast.com. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.